The first reading is Psalm 92, verses 1 to 4. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. And then Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
The third reading is from Mark 4, 26 to 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
What would you say if somebody asked you, "What is the kingdom of God like?" It's quite difficult to answer, isn't it? We can't really see it, or can we? I wonder if we recognize it when we do see it. So just thinking about this week. Oh, and by the way, fathers, happy Father's Day. We haven't actually said that yet. Happy Father's Day. Some fathers, sons, brothers, mothers, children, will be celebrating today. My daughter's coming back from Norwich, especially for the occasion. But a lot of people will also be celebrating tomorrow, we hope, when England plays, who is it? The point is that actually part of what's going on at the moment is what's going on in Russia. And our eyes are on England and the team in Russia. We won't mention England playing rugby in South Africa yesterday. Thank goodness I've got some South African relations and at least they're rejoicing. Our focus has been on Russia. It's also been on Singapore this week, hasn't it? Where we witnessed this amazing signing of an agreement between the United States with Donald Trump and North Korea with Chairman Kim Jong-un. 6 months ago, would we have believed or thought this possible? Absolutely not. One could say that this agreement, committing North Korea to denuclearization and the US, they say, first of all, they're going to suspend these military exercises or war games, and that both of the nations are committing to work towards peace and prosperity. Some would say this is a key moment in history. I'd like to say that too. But of course, we can't tell until we see what takes place as a result of that signing. I think actually the signing, yes, it shows seeds of a willingness to reconcile. But the seeds were planted quite a long time before the actual signing happened. Who were they planted by? They were planted by the South Korean President Moon, weren't they? He invited the North Koreans along to the Winter Olympics. Well, that's the first time they've taken part in any kind of international sporting event for a while. He met with Kim Jong-un beforehand. He shook hands with him the first time he'd set foot on South Korean soil. So seeds We often don't see the planting of seeds, but without seeds sown, peace and reconciliation, which are characteristics of God's kingdom, may never be able to take place. So we rejoice. Hope we'll still be rejoicing tomorrow evening. But have you noticed that God's kingdom, when it comes, involves a partnering between people and God? God doesn't dump his kingdom upon us. He doesn't just come with legions of angels or whatever it is. He chooses to work in and through us. We often don't know what it is that's going to grow or flourish until time passes. So today's reading describes what the kingdom of God is like, and it uses images and parables containing seeds and trees and sprouting and fruit and fresh and green leaves, all sorts of things. In fact, three trees were named. Can you remember which trees they were? Okay, you're cheating. Right, all right, no problem. Yes, palm tree, seed of Lebanon, and the last one wasn't actually a tree, it was a bush. It's not in that passage, so don't look. Which one was it? Somebody said it. Oh, thank you. Somebody was listening. A mustard seed, a tiny little seed that turns into a large bush. Also, three lots of planting are included. This first reading talks about the planting of people in the house of the Lord. And I love that picture. It talks about the fact that they will flourish. They're not just going to flourish as young people, Lydia's age. They're not just going to flourish as parents. They're going to flourish even in their old age. They will still bear fruit in their old age, staying fresh and green and proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. Here's my rock." Eileen, it was great to hear your testimony, starting with, you know, I get together with people, you know, a similar age to myself. Do you know what? The seeds you're sowing there, you never know. The relationships that you're opening those people up to, who knows? So, I just wanted to remind you of, I don't know if you heard it, but this week in the Times, there was an article that was published which talked about research showing that those people who attend church regularly live for about 6 years longer on average than those people who claim to be atheists or of no religion. That's very interesting, isn't it? Why? Well, we flourish in the house of the Lord, don't we? But also because we're together. And there's a wonderful thing about the community of people that surround people who come to church. Because when one hurts, the others hurt. When one rejoices, the others rejoice. And so, as Jane's not here today, we think of her, we pray for her, and we'll support her whenever we can. Carol had an accident, I'm just thinking, a little while ago, and Carol's received the support from people, messages or different things. It's lovely to be part of this community of God. I wonder if Jesus had this psalm on his mind when he first talked with the crowds and then with his disciples about the kingdom of God. Of course, Mark 4 focuses on two parables. It's not just of seeds and trees and growth. It's that these seeds and trees and growth are pictures of the kingdom of God. And so here's a bit of the first one. Kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seeds on the ground. Actually, before we focus on that, I just want to remind you that this chapter in Mark's gospel starts with the parable of the sower, which we know really well. And that's all about how we hear and respond to the seed that's sown, not just that seed is sown. That's interesting. Then there's this one and there's the other one, all about seeds and sowing. And Jesus teases out of his disciples and the people who are listening. He says to them, anyone with ears to hear, that's me and you, listen. Pay attention to what you hear. And at the end of the reading, which we heard, he said, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And I love that thing about parables where it works on so many different levels. It's not just one message. It's on so many different levels. So this Mark 4 first parable, what spoke to me about it was that people, a man, a father, a farmer, a mother, scatters the seed on the ground. That's about all they do. Night goes, day passes, they sleep, they get up. Actually, it doesn't matter whether they sleep and getting up, or night or day. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, and then the ear, then the full grain. I've just got tiny little grains here at the moment. Barley or wheat, I can never quite tell. But growing in the fields around Oldham. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. From one seed. First the seed has to die, then it has to be planted, and then it bears fruit. So one of the things that strikes me is that we can do what we can do as people. We can partner with God by sowing seed. We can sow seeds of friendship. We can sow seeds of kindness or creativity or peacemaking or cake making or truth making. These seeds grow, but we cannot produce the growth. It's God who brings the kingdom of God into being. It's God who can save. A lot of people talk to me about how they're anxious about their children and that their children seem to have lost their way or whatever. We know. Fathers talk about the pain that they feel when their sons, in fact, I've just had a conversation this morning about that, are going astray. We can pray for our children. We can pray for our parents. But what we can't do is save them. It's God who can do that. It's God who can establish his kingdom in their hearts. But I wonder, what seeds have you been planting this week? Last weekend, after this service, my husband and I met my husband in Oldham, and we went to the open gardens there. Some of you went to open gardens. There's a picture there. It's not a very clear one. But the gardens were absolutely wonderful. Some small, some large, but just all different characters and all an inspiration. But what I loved, and you can't see it too well, but beyond that archway, that's where the fields of wheat were. You could see right out to some of these gardens into the fields of wheat beyond. And what a picture, that joyous event, so many people in the village coming together, involved in giving and enjoying the fruit of many, many hours of labor. But all the time, that wheat, night and day, sleeping or waking, it's just growing quietly there. Sure, the farmer has to make sure that it gets enough water or fertilizer or whatever, but hardly anything gets done. It just grows. It's a parable in itself. Let's go to the second parable then. Here, the seed is named at the start. Actually, don't change the picture yet, Marianne, because I'll talk about that in a minute. The seed is the tiniest of seeds. It's a tiny, insignificant seed. It's a mustard seed. We know how small mustard seeds are, don't we? Whole grain mustard, but they're actually smaller than that when they're planted. It turns into the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches. Notice this tree is not harvested. It becomes a home for the birds, a source of shade, and it produces itself seed, mustard seed, which are used to add flavor to a meal. Yesterday, Robin and I popped into First Sight. So I don't know if any of you have been recently. First Sight, that big exhibition and art gallery that's at the end of the high street. And Marianne, can we have that next picture? You can't, again, it's hard to see, but this is one huge wall. It's as tall as almost the roof here. And on this wall, all the way down the hall, And again, as long as the church is, there's different trees painted and different bushes painted. And right in the front is a little cafe. Almost in the shade of these trees, you know. And it struck me that in that cafe, people meet, don't they? They gather. They have little conversations, little germs of ideas. I wonder how many seeds are planted as people talk. And actually, at the end of this week being National Refugee Week, Colchester, it's called Refugee Action Colchester, is planning a get-together. They're inviting people from all different political parties. They're calling it an unprecedented cross-party event, and it's called Sharing Stories and Breaking Bread. Actually, the public is invited as well. You can go, I can go. It's got food, which is produced by the Syrian pop-up cafe. Breaking bread and sharing stories. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do today. But the reason why we eat together, the reason why we share stories together, is partly because it gives us a sense of well-being, of flourishing, and it builds friendship. It builds a sense of belonging. When we come together for Alpha, what do we first? We share a great meal. We chat. What do we do at the village hall picnics? We bring our food, we sit around, we have fun with families, other families, and we chat. Meals, gathering together, listening to stories. Under the shade of the mustard tree, of course. But I wonder, what is God saying to you today through these parables? What is it that he wants you to hear? What seeds is he prompting you to plant? I want to add a third parable. This is a parable that I suppose it's my parable. But it's something that God put on my heart when we went to California as a family for the first time, well, first time in USA. Quite close to San Francisco, in the middle of Sequoia National Park, stands one amazingly beautiful old tree. You can put up the picture, called General Sherman. Imagine having a name, but that's what he is called. This tree is one of the oldest in the world. They reckon it's about 2,700 years old. Around at the time of the Jewish exile, way before Jesus was born, here this tree took root and began to grow. It's massive. It's actually the biggest in the world by mass. They estimate, well, I won't tell you how big it is. There are trees that are taller, but this tree's got the greatest mass. How has this tree survived so long, I wonder, and grown to become a statesman among trees? It's true, the conditions are just right. The rainfall, the temperature, the drainage, whatever. But it also has to survive many a challenge. So bushfires, you know, in California, bushfires sweep across California. We saw it earlier on this year with Los Angeles. They're frequent and they're devastating. Combine that with drought and high winds. How is it that this tree is still standing? You can see deep scars in its side. Branches have been lost, growth impeded. One of the secrets is that it's been created with this thick bark all the way around. And in the bark, there's something, tannin or something, a chemical that inhibits fire. It also inhibits the eating of it by insects, because it's poison to insects and birds. So that's one of the things. It's got this fire-resistant chemical. Another thing is that, and this I find amazing, is that it actually needs that fire to propagate and grow. So hanging on the top of it, there's these tiny pods, cones. They about as small as three of my fingers, green cones. They can hang on that tree for 20 years without opening, holding the seed. When the fire comes, the heat opens those pods. And out of those pods, onto the carpet of ashes and soil, fall the tiny seeds, and the saplings take root. The beginning of new trees begins to grow. Without that fire, propagation can't happen. The final secret. It's not alone. It grows in a forest of great sequoia trees and other trees. So when the wind comes, the one thing that can wipe it out, kill it, that tree does not fall over. That tree is protected largely by other trees. Trees also survive and flourish in a community. So I want to finish with three thoughts which run through these parables. The first is a verse from Zechariah. It says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." How many times do you hear from people, "Oh, the church is dying"? It may even seem to us in the church that there's not many signs of new life. Maybe it seems that the kingdom of God isn't flourishing. Watch, listen, pray, sow seeds. The Spirit of God is at work through small mustard seeds, and the kingdom of God will grow, the harvest will come. Secondly, don't be afraid of tough times. Don't be afraid of those fires that come. They won't destroy you. God has equipped us and equipped you with a wonderful means of survival, and that is the Holy Spirit, who uses these times of testing to produce in us perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And finally, don't fear old age. Our culture is very youth-centered. It seems that crime to be getting older, not quite a crime, but you know, people dread getting older. But in old age, you have so much to offer. Age is no barrier to flourishing in God's kingdom. He uses us all, from the youngest to the oldest. So I wonder, what is it that God is saying to you today? What is it that he wants you to hear? What seed is he prompting you to sow this week? Let's just have a moment of prayer. Lord, we pray for the coming of your kingdom in us and through us. We pray for ears to hear, eyes to see and recognize the kingdom of God. We pray that we might sow seeds and that we might see a harvest, the kingdom of God coming here and now to Mark Stay, to England, to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.